The psychiatry profession is suffering from confidence deficit disorder at the moment. It's being attacked as having elements of pseudoscience about it. Vigorous debate has been sparked by the publication of the fifth edition of the industry Bible, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. DSM-5, it's called, being the fifth edition. And some think it tries to medicalise too many ordinary mental conditions. Shyness becomes social anxiety disorder, for example. Actually, that one goes back, I think, to previous versions of the manual. Well, with us is the author of a new book on the profession. The book is called Cracked. It's by James Davis, who's a lecturer in psychology and anthropology at the University of Roehampton. And also on the line is Nick Craddock, a member of the Royal College of Psychiatrists and from the National Centre for Mental Health at Cardiff University. Good morning to you both.
Morning, everyone.
James, first of all, you're a critic of the profession. Just tell us how this manual, the story of this diagnostic and statistical manual, what it tells us about how you think the profession has gone wrong.
Well, I mean, the story is really one of rapid expansion of this manual. Over the last 50 years, we've seen it expand at a faster rate than pretty much any other medical manual in history. So, for example, in 1950, it included about 106 disorders. Today, it includes around 370, if you include all of the subdivisions and appendix disorders. And what this has led to is the medicalization of more people in contemporary society. Apparently, one in four of us suffers from a mental disorder in any given year. And we argue that this figure is so startlingly high because psychiatry, through this manual, has redefined more and more of our natural and normal human responses to the problems of living.
Give me an example, I mean, of one, a disorder that you don't think should be a disorder, should be treated as normal.
Well, you have things, let's look at the ICD, let's look at disorders that are included in both the ICD and the DSM.
ICD
is the version, the European version, the World Health Organization.
A different version of the same thing.
Yes, okay. But they're very, very similar manuals. Right. You have disorders included in there such as female orgasmic disorder, caffeine-related disorders.
What's caffeine-related disorder?
Well, maybe Nick can illuminate us on this one. But these are people who have various addictions to caffeine in various forms.
I mean, Nick Craddock, do you accept that there has been an over-tendency, an over-inclination to medicalise normal conditions?
Well, what I would say is it's absolutely vital that we think carefully about problems that people have and where we can recognise patterns that will benefit from treatment, help, be they social intervention, psychological or medical, such as medication. It's obviously very important to be able to give a name to that, to recognise it and provide help. So that is a motivation behind the diagnostic systems. I certainly agree that some of the sort of newer ones are probably not having the same level of robust scientific evidence at core illnesses like schizophrenia and depression and bipolar disorder and panic disorder and those disorders have. Certainly, I've been critical myself about DSM-5, the new version of the American system. And that's because I don't think the level of scientific evidence justifies producing a new manual at the current time. What we absolutely need is to be moving towards a better scientific understanding so that the diagnostic categories actually map onto the normal and abnormal workings of the brain in a better way.
Mm. I mean, James Davis, there's no biological marker for a lot of these conditions. Clearly, you can't absolutely determine by looking at some genetic or other lab test result that someone's going to have a condition. But that doesn't mean that it isn't useful to categorise and give a name to all sorts of conditions. Maybe they're not very serious conditions, but why not name them?
Well, I think it is useful to categorise. I mean, what's at debate here is the extent to which we've been doing this and whether or not we've been doing this in the correct fashion. That's what's being debated. And I think there's another really important issue that needs to be raised with respect to all of this. And this is to do with, and it's a rather thorny area, but it's to do with the links between the pharmaceutical industry and psychiatry.
Because your suspicion is that you medicalise it, give it a name, then insurance companies pay up, particularly in the United States, and they'll pay for people to have drugs for it.
Well, yes. I mean, psychiatrists get paid more money from the pharmaceutical industry than doctors in any other medical speciality. And when we look at DSM-5, of the 29 people who put that manual together, a full 21 have had strong financial ties to the industry, including the chair and the vice chair.
Nick Craddock, do you want to...
Yeah, well, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, let me just...
Sorry, you're agreeing with that, are you?
No. No, absolutely, I want to comment on it. No. Let me just reiterate that DSM is an American system. A lot of the criticisms and comments that are made in the book and that are being rehearsed by Dr. Davis at the moment relate to the American system. He made that rather general statement about psychiatrists have more money from drug companies than other doctors or whatever. That may or may not be true in the States. It absolutely is not true within the context of the UK and the National Health Service. Psychiatrists are working under difficult circumstances in our National Health Service. Their motivation is not to please drug companies to get payments. They're doing the very best they can for patients, trying to balance the right treatments, be they social intervention, psychological.
Are the outcomes, Nick Craddock, subject to the same kinds of controlled testing other drug?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a major misrepresentation in the book is the claim that psychiatric treatments don't work and this sort of thing. There's actually very good evidence that the range of psychiatric treatments that we have for psychiatric disorders are roughly the same level of effectiveness as the range of treatments for physical disorders.
Let me give last word to James Davis then. James, have you're onto something, but maybe overcooked the conclusion.
No, I completely disagree with Nick. Nick has received money from the industry, as many senior psychiatrists in Britain have, so I disagree with him on that point. The DSM is highly influential here in Britain, and I do agree that antidepressants work. I simply say, which is consistent with the research, that antidepressants work not for the reasons people believe. They largely work because of their placebo effects, right, and not because of any chemicals in the actual pill itself.
What an interesting discussion. We should come back to this. James Davis, Nick Craddock, thank you both.
And the weather forecast.